You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men about how to grow and mature in your faith. So we're addressing Gen Z. And guys, I really want you to grow, mature, be that man God's called you to be. So let me ask you a question today on this show. Have you ever been in the midst of a temptation where you just couldn't make up your mind? You ever been there? You know, you've been tempted. You're trying to make up your mind. Am I going to do it? Am I not going to do it? Have you ever been taking a test and your eyes just accidentally wandered over to your neighbor's paper? Have you ever been to a friend's house where they're all watching a certain movie and you know that movie probably wouldn't be best for your own sanctification? Have you ever been in a situation where guys were looking at something they shouldn't have been and they say, hey, check this out? Have you ever been tempted to just when you're hanging out with your friends, all of a sudden they start gossiping about the person they don't like or the teacher they don't like or the boss they don't like and you just fall into that gossip session? I mean, have you ever been in a compromising situation with your girlfriend? You know, we're talking today about you got to have a mind made up because we are living in sin and temptation all the time. And if you've ever been tempted, you know that if you don't have your mind made up ahead of time, then the temptation is going to be that much more challenging. And so let me tell you something today. You better make up your mind right now. Before you get into a situation about what will you do or what will you not do, because once you're in the middle of a situation, it gets a lot tougher. Today, I want us to take a look at the book of Daniel, just Daniel chapter 1, because I think Daniel demonstrates a mind made up. I mean, this man had resolve, and he knew how to fight against temptation. And so I love the book of Daniel. Daniel is one of what we call the major prophets. There's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Ezekiel. And then Daniel. Daniel's made up of 12 chapters. And chapter 1, which is what we're going to look at today and next time, is we're doing a two-part series about a man's mind that was made up. Chapter 1 of Daniel is all about the history of what's going on at this particular time in the life of Israel. The book of Daniel, it takes place during the exile. And Israel was judged by God for their disobedience. And so they were taken by the Babylonians into exile for about 70 years. And that's the setting of where Daniel takes place. This book is written by Daniel himself. And the name Daniel means God is my judge. So I told you, Israel's being judged. And so Daniel kind of represents this mindset that the whole nation, those who were taken into exile especially, are being judged by God. Now, Daniel's life and ministry bridged the entire 70-year period of Babylonian captivity. When he was taken into captivity, he was just a young guy. He was in the middle of his own Gen Z. That's right. He was age 16, and he was actually handpicked for the government to do special service. Whenever the Babylonians ransacked Israel, they only took the best, the cream of the crop, those who had the most education, those who looked the best, who seemed to have the most to offer to the land of Babylon. So Daniel served there in Babylon the whole 70 years, and Daniel really became God's prophetic mouthpiece to the Gentile world there in Babylon, as well as to his own people, the Jews. Daniel was outspoken in declaring God's present and eternal purposes, even in the midst of great opposition. So what I want us to do as we look at Daniel chapter 1 is I want to give you three headings that will help us be challenged and encouraged by the life of Daniel. We're going to see, number one, Daniel's relocation in verses 1 through 7. of Daniel 1. And then number two, we're going to look at Daniel's resolve, verses 8 through 16. And then number three, Daniel's reward in verses 17 through 21. So let's start off with number one today. And let's just talk about Daniel's relocation. I told you that Israel had disobeyed God, and so they were being deported to Babylon. There were three deportations that took place in years 605, 597, and 586 BC. And Daniel was taken with that first group. He was taken to Babylon, where he was going to be serving the nation of Babylon. But as we know, as a godly prophet, he's going to still be serving God throughout these 70 years. Here's what Daniel 1:1-2 says. It says, in the year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And then verse 2 says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. So the king of Israel is the king of Judah specifically, is now given into the hand of the king of Babylon, who is Nebuchadnezzar. And it says that he's also taken some of the vessels from the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. This word Shinar means Babylon. Notice how it says there, verse 2 says, they brought some of the vessels of gold into the treasury of the Babylonian gods. This is kind of a way of demonstrating that the Babylonian gods were, in their minds, superior to the God of Israel, that they had conquered this nation, and so they took their goods with them. And remember, again, God had promised Israel that if they disobeyed God's word, then they would be punished. And we read about that in the book of Joshua. Joshua 23:14-16 says, and now I am about to go the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All has come to pass, and not one of them has failed. But just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you. So what's going on here? Well, Joshua is telling Israel, if you guys mess with God and you start disobeying God, he will destroy you. And then the next verse says, if you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that he has given to you. Joshua is warning Israel, look, man, if you guys don't obey, things are going to go bad. And that was fulfilled. That prophecy is fulfilled in the book of Daniel. I mean, things aren't looking so good for Israel. They've been ransacked, they've been besieged, and now they've had many of their best people that have been taken into exile to the land of Babylon. And then things get even worse. Things get even worse. Listen to verses 3 and 4. The king commanded Asphanaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. So what you have going on here really is now we see an attempt for brainwashing of the Jewish people. The best of the Babylonians are going to try to train the best of the Jews to become like them. And so there's some qualifications that you had to have in order to serve in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, you had to be physically free from any sort of handicap. You had to be handsome. So you had to be a good-looking guy, all right? You had to be mentally sharp, which means that you were intelligent and you understood and how things work. You know, you may not have been acing calculus. I don't know if they had calculus back in the ancient world, but you had to be intelligent and to demonstrate ability to understand things. And then you have to be socially poised and polished to represent the king. I mean, they wanted to really literally brainwash them in several different ways. Notice that one of these was that they wanted to bring about a change of literature and a change of language. I mean, they really want to take the best, again, the cream of the crop, and they want to teach them and give them understanding that they could be competent to stand in the king's palace. And notice how, again, the end of verse 4 says to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. So they're basically saying, forget Israel. Forget the Hebrew language. We want you guys now to be Chaldeans. That's the culture of the Babylonians. There's no going back, at least in their mind. They didn't realize the prophecy had already been given. It would be a 70-year exile. But they're saying, hey, there's no going back. And so the best thing for you is to become one of us, that you would maybe learn Aramaic, because we're going to teach it to you. And not only are they going to change their culture and change their language, verse 5 talks about they're going to change their food and drink. Daniel chapter 1, verse 5, the king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. And so what we have, again, is they're saying, hey, look, not only do we have a better culture and a better language, we got better food than you guys got. We got better barbecue, right? We got certain foods that you can eat. We have the best of the food that is to be offered and the best of the drink in our land, in Babylon, and you guys get to participate in it. And I'm sure that this food was not all kosher. So we're going to talk about what did Daniel do with this temptation as he really demonstrates for us what it means to have a mind made up. Now, don't go away, because when you come right back, we're going to continue to look at the life of Daniel.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. But let me say something right here real quick to the guy listening right now who's thinking, man, come on, it's just a movie. It's just a text. It's just a date night. Brother, no, it's not. It's not. It's never just that. That's the lie that Dr. Tyson is talking about. That's the whisper in your ear that's saying, hey, relax. This is just how things are now. But Daniel didn't relax. And I know we're not in exile technically, but look, scroll your feet, walk a campus, sit in a staff meeting, and tell me this culture is not trying to name you and feed you. Here's the crazy thing. Most men don't even realize this is happening. They're not being malicious. They're just not resolved. They're trying to love Jesus, but they have no plan to love Jesus. And if that's you, you've got to have a mindset. Look, all it takes is Wi-Fi, feeling alone, and a Friday night. That's all it takes. That's why Way of Manhood exists. That's why Dr. Adam Tyson does such a remarkable job. That's why we built Fortis Plus, content added every single day. There's already hundreds of hours of audio and video content on Fortis Plus, and we're just adding to it every day. Stuff on temptation and spiritual leadership and biblical manhood and the lies that this culture continues to pump into your brain, and you get it all for free. There's no paywall. There's no sign up. There's no tricks, just truth. Wherever you get your apps, you can download Fortis Plus right now, absolutely free, or you can just head over to fortisplus.org. And while we're talking about clarity, let me also mention the Masters University. They should be on your radar as well. If you're a young man or you know a young man that wants to figure out where they're headed, then TMU exists to equip men just like you with more than just a degree. It's formation. It's training that actually sticks. Check out masters.edu/manhood right now. And if you're thinking long-term, if you're thinking about what kind of legacy you want to leave, I also want to quickly ask you to consider standing with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Fortis Institute has been speaking into the lives of men for over 25 years. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now, of course, as Fortis Institute. And Lord willing, we're just getting started, but we need people just like you to lock arms with us. So if you're already giving to your local church and they are by far your first priority, then would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? All the details are available to you right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, let's get back now to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, where we're looking at a mind made up. And we're looking at the life of Daniel. Daniel was taken into exile to Babylon, and while he was there, they tried to brainwash him. They tried to teach him a new language and a new culture, and they tried to give him new food and new drink. That's what's going on in verse 5, and they want him to eat what they eat and drink what they drink. Now, remember, Daniel was a Hebrew, and as an Israelite, they had a very strict diet of what they could and could not eat or drink. So you got to understand that even here from the get-go, Daniel's being tempted to partake of whatever it is that Babylon had to offer. And you got to think that Daniel might have been thinking like, well, we're not in Israel. We have no temple. We have no priesthood going on right here. I mean, we're kind of in exile. And so we might as well just make the most of it. Maybe I should just kind of give in. Maybe I should partake. Maybe I should just kind of be one of these Arabs and start speaking Aramaic and start eating their food. And so we got to see here that there's significant temptation that Daniel is facing just with the food and with the drink. And then we understand not only is Daniel being tempted, but there's the change of his name and the change of his character. And that is going to spread from Daniel to three other guys that I'm talking about that Daniel was taken with. It's seen in verses 6 and 7. It says, among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, all from the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. So what you're seeing here is the change of name. Remember, not only are they trying to change their culture, not only are they changing their language, not only are they changing what they eat, they're trying to change their name, and in some ways, they're trying to change their character. I mean, a man's name is really to kind of describe his character, like Daniel means God is my judge. And they wanted to change it to Belteshazzar, and Belteshazzar means to protect the king Bel, one of the Babylonian kings. And so instead of serving God, we want you to serve Bel. And then Hananiah, one of his three friends, means Yahweh has been gracious, and they changed his name to Shadrach, which means I am fearful of Aku, another Babylonian god. Mishael, who is what God is what that name means. They changed it to Meshach, which is who is what Aku is. And then Azariah, the Lord is my helper, to Abednego. So they change his name to I am a helper of Nego, also called Nebo, which is the god of vegetation. So what we're seeing here is that there is a change going on. There's no doubt what's really happening here. The world system is coming upon God's people, and they want to change everything about them. They are now going to be indoctrinated in what it means to be a good Chaldean there in the land of Shinar or the land of Babylon. So what can we learn from this? Well, the same thing is really happening to us today. Young man, Gen Z, you may be a Christian, you may be in a Christian family, and you may go on to a Christian church, and I hope that you do, obviously, and that you're growing in your love for Christ and your love for the gospel, but you got to understand that we live in the world. And though we live in the world, we are not to be of the world, because the world system is trying to bring you down. That's right. The world system is trying to change the way you think, change the way you act, telling you a lie. And it's telling you we're better than you, and we're smarter than you, and we have more fun than you. So if you just kind of adopt the world's ways of doing things and the way the world talks about things and the things that the world eats and the pleasures that they find, if you just do everything according to the world, then it's going to go better for you. And you say, well, man, I don't know if I've faced that kind of temptation. Well, listen to me, young man. One day you're going to go to college, and one day you're going to move out of the house. One day you're going to have your own job. And at that point, you're going to start to be able to tell who are you really? I mean, what kind of man are you really? If you were taken away today from your parents or from your hometown, you know, and you kind of go out and you spread your wings and you start to become your own man, what kind of temptations are you going to face? I mean, what if you were taken into custody? I mean, in a sense, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not taken into custody, but in a sense, we do live in the culture of the world. I mean, just think about it. If you go to school and if you have a job and if you're, you know, out buying groceries or out, you know, pursuing entertainment, going to the game, or just kind of hanging out in the culture, you could almost say that you spend more time in the culture than you spend in the church. I mean, for most Christians, they just show up to church on Sunday, maybe go to youth group or to a Bible study midweek. And so there's about 2, 4, maybe 5 hours a week you're involved at church. Well, the rest of the time, you're doing whatever it is you do. And maybe you're homeschooled, maybe you go to a Christian school. So if so, that's a blessing for sure. But a lot of us just kind of live in the world. And I wonder if what happened to Daniel were to happen to you, how would you fight that temptation? Would you have a mind that's made up? Or would you be somehow drawn to the things of the world? I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20 says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world?" So what we're saying is hopefully you have that kind of conviction where you realize that the world is going to be attacking you, but you're going to have hopefully the same resolve that Daniel had. And that's really step two, or number two here in our lesson, is we're looking at a part two of a mind made up. First of all, you got Daniel's relocation, and then you got Daniel's resolve, because at the beginning of verse 8, it says this, "But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank." So I love that, right? Here's where Daniel puts his foot in the dirt and says, you know what? I ain't doing it. I will not be defiled in this way. I told you there were certain laws about diet, certain things you couldn't eat, certain things you weren't supposed to drink. And Daniel says, you know what? I'm going to stick to it. You know why? Because Daniel had conviction. Daniel had holy resolve. Daniel was like going to follow 1 John 2, 15 and 16. "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." So here's what we're saying. Daniel's relocated, but Daniel still has resolve. He has conviction. And conviction is what you do when no one else is watching. Your conviction reveals your true character. And so you got to be a man today who says, you know what? I'm going to go with God. I'm going to do what God calls me to do. You know, and I wish I could tell you I never gave in to sin, but I think, you know, we all struggle with sin. And I'm ashamed to say there was one time in college where my temptation got the best of me. I actually cheated in a certain class. I was trying to take a physics class. I did take a physics class, and I was trying to get a higher grade. And so the professor gave us opportunity to do some extra credit. And so the extra credit was to take all of your notes and to type it up and to have it printed and to turn it in just to show that you had a good study, you know, guide for the whole semester. And so instead of doing that myself, I borrowed somebody else's notes that typed it up a little bit more neatly. And I put my name on their notes and I printed it out and turned it in as if it was my own. And I'm ashamed to say I was cheating. You know, I was taking someone else's work and I was turning it in as my own. And I fell into that temptation and I was convicted about it. And I later went and confessed that sin to my professor. And I even offered for him to give me an F or to expel me, because I knew that was the consequence of cheating in college. And he actually gave me grace and didn't even understand why I was coming clean. And I just said, hey man, I've got a conscience and I can't keep living like this. And what I'm getting at is you gotta be a person with a mind made up. And not only was that true of Daniel, but that was true of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As you remember later in Daniel chapter 3, they were told that everybody's got to bow down and worship King Nebuchadnezzar when they play all the musical instruments. And so then they bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before the king because they're not bowing down. And if you remember, those guys said, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image you have set up." So again, We see here a mind made up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided before they were ever tempted to maybe give in, to bow down and worship the idols of Babylon. They said, you know what? We ain't doing it. We will not bow down. And what we're seeing from Daniel in chapter 1, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in chapter 3 is these were men who had their minds made up. So let me ask you, young man, do you have your mind made up when it comes to temptation? When you're tempted to go to the movies, when you're tempted to turn on the TV, when you're tempted to start, going to your phone or your computer and searching things on the internet, are you a man who has his mind made up? I hope the resolve of Daniel will help encourage you to be that kind of man. Let me pray for us as we close. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be reminded of the life and the story of Daniel. And thank you that he had his mind made up about what he would do and what he wouldn't do. Help us to follow in that example, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.